Friends, my parallel parable for today goes this way. The story began 3 or 4 months ago. It centers around a fellow named Bill. And Bill got this idea that he should organize a neighborhood Canada Day celebration. He thought this because he loved his neighborhood, and he felt that people there should know each other better and have the opportunity to socialize together. And so he started to plan, and Bill had a small business, and he had a good year, and he wanted to share it, so he felt that he could take care of the major expenses for the day if people would just come out and celebrate together. So he had these plans. He was going to, and he did make arrangements for use of the public park in the neighborhood. And he went around to some suppliers who could provide things that would be required for the day. And he set it all up. And he also contacted some people in the neighborhood to tell them what he had in mind. But he didn't want to impose entirely on his neighbors. He wanted this to be a time when they could sit down and relax and have conversation together. So he thought that he would deal with this by inviting some friends who weren't exactly from the neighborhood but had been longtime friends of his to help him out with some of the details so that his neighbors could just more or less enjoy the day. So he contacted these 5 friends and asked them what they were planning to do on Canada Day, and none of them had excuses that excused them from being there, and so they all agreed that they would help out. And Bill set up a little planning meeting in his house to meet with them in advance and tell them what he had in mind for them to do. So the evening comes, and Bill sits down with his 5 friends, who just happened to be named Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Pat and Mike. Now, Pat and Mike have figured in a lot of stories, but this one's a little different. Anyway, Bill sat down with them and he said, "Now, here's what I'd like each of you to do. Tom, I have this picture of the park on Canada Day with a nice big tent in it, so there will be shade. You know, the park's a little barren, and it would be nice to have a big tent up. And I've spoken with a supplier of tents, and he can make that happen. Now, what I'm asking you to do, Tom, is to meet with him, to plan out how that tent should be placed in the park, and to be there early on the morning of Canada Day when the men come to set it up. Now, this needs to be planned well in advance. Can you get right on that?" Tom said, "Sure, count on me." So then he turned to Dick and he said, "You know, I don't want to make all my neighbors lug tables and chairs to the park. I'd really like to arrange with a supplier of tables and chairs to bring an ample number over so that they would be there for the day and have them set up under the tent and everything just ready. And now that'll take a little organizing. Can you take care of that, Dick? I've spoken with the supplier, and here's his telephone number, and if you'll just take it from here, and I won't have to worry about it." Dick nodded and assured Bill that he had it covered. So then Bill turned to Harry and he said, you know, I want this day to be a little special. You know, picnics are kind of paper plates and styrofoam cups. I'd like it to be a little more splendid than that. So I've spoken to a supplier of dishes and glasses and cutlery, and if you get in contact with them and work out with them the details of when they can deliver this and things can be ready, I'd really appreciate that. Can you handle this? Harry said, you can count on me. So at this point, Bill, of course, is feeling really good. Three of the five tasks he had to ration out have all been well accepted. And then he turned to Pat and he said, you know, if this day is going to be special, and it's Canada Day, we need a lot of decorations. And maybe some flowers. You'll have to be creative about this. And there's a budget for it, of course, and if you'll just go out and get these things and give me the receipts, I'll be sure to reimburse you. I hope you can do this early in the day so that people see the tent set up and the decorations and are reminded that something nice is going on in their neighborhood. Pat seemed good with that. And then he turned to Mike and he said, you know, we have some old folks in the neighborhood who need transportation to get to this event. Now, there are some people in the neighborhood who've offered to provide transport, but someone needs to put it all together. Now, this will take a bit of work, but, you know, if you can keep in touch with who's coming, and here are the names of some people who are willing to help out. If you can make this happen, that would be just great, because we don't want anyone to be left out because they can't make it there. Well, when the five friends left, Bill was feeling really satisfied, because he said to them, now, you know, I don't want to worry about these things. I'm leaving them entirely with you, so you'll take care of them. And of course, going on in the back of Bill's mind is, you know, it's Canada Day and there's no place to turn if things need to be secured at the last minute. And he had said to his five friends, now I'd like you to be there in the morning and we'll huddle together at noon, and this event's to take place between 2 and 6. And it's set up so that people afterwards can go to the fireworks display in the neighborhood, or at least in the community. And I'd like you to be there for the afternoon. And then, of course, if you'll be back at ready at 6 to spend a little time helping to tidy up the park afterwards, I've assured the city officials we'll leave it in good shape. Everything just right. Well, now we move down the road a couple of months to the morning of Canada Day. Bill's all excited. Everything has just come together so nicely. And so he could hardly sleep, but when he woke up, he waited for a little while, and then he thought, well, I'll get myself over to the park and see what's happening. And the tent should be set up by this time, and everything should be going well. And he went over to the park and kind of looked around. A little surprised. There's no tent up. But over to the side, there was one little tent. You know, the size that people at sidewalk events put up over a single table. And this was, of course, nowhere near the vision that Bill had had of a tent for the day. And he looks around and he can't see Tom right away to find out when the tent's supposed to be set up. And when he finally sees Tom off in the distance coming toward the park, he says to Tom, when's the tent coming? Well, Tom shuffled his feet and said, I guess my bad habits won. You know, well, maybe you didn't know, but I kind of tend to put things off. You told me to get right on it, but, by the time I contacted that company you gave me the name of, they didn't have any big tents left. They were all rented out to other people for the holiday. This little tent over here is the only one I could get. I thought we could at least put it over the food. Well, Bill's adjusting himself to the diminished splendor of the occasion. And he thought, well, now how do we handle this? The dishes and cutlery and glassware should be arriving soon. And the table's next. Yeah, the tables. Where were they going to put the tables? They were supposed to go under the tent, but there was no tent. As a matter of fact, maybe there wasn't a problem. There were no tables either. No chairs. And Dick wandered into the park and says, Bill, I couldn't decide how many chairs we would need and how many tables. And then I went and looked, and there were all kinds of different styles and shapes of tables and so forth, and I couldn't make up my mind. And so I kind of put it off a bit, and then when I went back at the end of the week, they were closed for the weekend. And I couldn't get any. Well, then along comes Harry. Harry's the dishes and cutlery man, glassware. Harry said, yeah, I just forgot about it. Sorry. Well, Bill's very crestfallen, and about this time, Pat comes wandering up. He's got a couple of shopping bags with him. He said, I went to the party store and picked out all sorts of suitable Canada Day things, but I didn't want to take delivery on them earlier, and so I just made a list of the things I was going to get when I went back, and unfortunately, when I got back, the store was closed, and so I kind of went to an all-night variety store, and I got what I've got here. I've got 6 little Canada flags, and couple of rolls of crepe paper. I know it's not what you had in mind, Bill, but it's the best I could do. Variety stores don't carry much in the way of decorations or flowers. So this is, I guess, it. And so only person not yet heard from was Mike, who was supposed to arrange the transportation for the seniors and those who would have trouble getting there on their own. And Mike said when he arrived, it seemed like a lot of work. And I thought about it and decided that probably people could handle things for themselves. That probably neighbors would just help each other out. Well, there was now, as noon approached, Bill's wonderful, spectacular Canada Day celebration. Oh, the caterers were going to bring the food, but he didn't have any dishes. There were a few puny decorations around. There was one small little tent with no table under it. And Bill wanted a rock to hide under. After all, he'd promoted this in the neighborhood. He'd had people talk it up. He'd gotten people to say they were coming. And now he didn't even have a chair for them to sit on. But, you know, what happened was that about that time, some of his neighbors wandered in. People from down the street. And they said, we just stopped by to see if there was anything we could do to help out. You know, it was very nice of you to organize this on our behalf, and we just wondered if there was any way we could lend a hand. Well, Bill didn't want to blame his friends in the presence of his neighbors, but he had to concede that things hadn't worked out the way he'd envisioned. And the neighbor said, you know, that's probably okay. Let's see, we can, everybody's got lawn chairs. We can round up a bunch of lawn chairs. And there are some picnic tables over at the other side of the park that we can probably tote over here. And, you know, it's a good day. We've, maybe can get a couple of umbrellas, you know, from people have for deck tables. And with a little bit of planning, we can figure out those people who can't get here on their own, and we can bring them. And so we can make it work, Bill. This is going to be a good day. We'll all enjoy ourselves. Well, maybe not Tom, Dick, Harry, Pat, and Mike, but the neighbors. And that's, of course, what it was all about. That the neighbors have a good time together. And you know what? They did. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus said, then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. What was Jesus' point? These bridesmaids weren't evil people. Sometimes they're referred to as being careless. It seems as though their fault was a minor one, but it had significant implications. Now, if I can jump back to my story, Bill's friends weren't evil guys. They just all had little character flaws that prevented them from delivering what they promised. You know, Tom was a procrastinator, and so there was no tent. Dick was never well organized in his life, and so there were no tables and chairs. Harry was always forgetful, and his failure to arrange things was more of a surprise to Bill than it was to him. Pat, who was supposed to get the decorations, was always late for everything. And Mike was a bit lazy. Ordinary little, seemingly insignificant character flaws. We think of them as insignificant because we all kind of possess some of them. And yet, was not Christ's point in the parable that these little things about how we conduct ourselves and operate our lives, that these things also have spiritual implications? I mean, if we are forgetful, if we are procrastinators, if we're not well organized, if we are always late, if we're lazy, those things have implications for our life in the kingdom. As in my story, they inevitably end up in us abandoning friends and failing to do what we promised to do for one reason or another. They inevitably also impact our participation in a faith community because we don't deliver, for whatever little reason, what we say we intend to do. And, of course, these things, small as they are, ordinary quirks of human nature, have implications for our relationship with God. They get in the way. The point for the bridesmaids was that they were to be ready always for the work of the kingdom. So I leave this story with you, you know. This is one to take home and mull over. Because it invites us to think about our own sort of personality, our own habits of life, and to identify ways in which they may be a hindrance to our faithful response to the Lord, day by day and week by week. And then when we put our finger on what it is that the risk may be, we can turn to God and ask for help so that these tendencies we have don't negatively intrude on our life in the kingdom and in Christ's church. You see, they're not terribly evil things, they're just bad habits. And Jesus saw this as important enough to underscore by telling a parable. And therefore, if Jesus thought it was important enough to put before people, we do well to listen. God has extended himself on our behalf, sent his Son, reaches out in grace, pardons us repeatedly, is patient beyond measure with us, is generous in his love. And we are called to respond with faithfulness. So think on these things. And this is not an invitation to think about your neighbor. This is an invitation for you to think about yourself. We all do better at seeing other people's flaws and foibles than we do recognizing our own. Friends, God loves us. He claims us. He wants us to be a faithful people to himself. That's his heart's desire for us. This is good news. Thanks be to God.